I'm David Brancaccio in New York for stock market investors who wish to feel agitated. The NASDAQ index is now in a, quote, correction, down 10% from a recent high. And after the drop on Wednesday, the S&P 500 and Dow indices are now down for the year, meaning all the gains of 2018 are gone. Now, for those who wish to remain calm, I can add those calculations do not factor in dividends, which help. Also, the 608-point drop in the Dow yesterday isn't all that much in percentage terms, minus 2.4%. I spoke to Jason Zweig this morning. He writes the Wall Street Journal's Intelligent Investor column.
Great to be with you, David.
All right, sage market veteran, what's worse, that coming into Thursday here, the S&P 500 and the Dow have lost all of their gains of the year, or that the NASDAQ has entered what we call correction territory, down 10% from a recent high? What's worse?
Well, I think there's a couple things that are even worse than that, David. One is that everybody cites market return without accounting for dividends. So, you know, the S&P 500 we've been hearing is down for the year. You're correct about that, absolutely. But if you count dividends, it's actually up slightly still. Now, that doesn't mean it can't go down. It doesn't mean it can't go down a lot. But it would be great if all of us did a better job of keeping these returns in perspective. I think that's the first point I would make, is it would be great if we all cited market returns, including the income that most investors do get from their stocks. The second is, if you think about the Dow Jones Industrial Average, for example, putting that in historical perspective, we're all quite alarmed about the 500-point drops that have become pretty commonplace this fall on the Dow. But a 500-point decline was 23% of total U.S. stock market value back on October 19th, 1987, when that happened, and the Dow fell 500 points. Today, it's a 2% decline. So some of the volatility is more a matter of perception than reality. The market still is not that much more volatile than it has been historically, and by some measures is less.
Here's what's on the mind of a lot of people during a turbulent moment. Do I buy into a falling stock market, or do I sell because it's going to fall further? I think that's the key thing that people wrestle with, for better or for worse. I don't know. I was looking at one of your books here, The Devil's Financial Dictionary. There is an entry under rebalancing. Maybe that's a better way to go here.
Yeah, I think that's a very good guide for people's decision making. You know, instead of trying to time some sort of entry point where you commit a large amount of money based on your intuition, it would be better if you just looked at your long-term targets. You know, how much money am I prepared to put at risk in the stock market? Let's say that's, you know, 60% of your total assets, just throw a number out there. If these declines have you down to, you know, 58 or 57%, you can add a little. Or for that matter, if these declines are making you very, very nervous, and during the crash of 2008-2009, you took money out of stocks at that point because of your fears of a further decline, then maybe you have too much money in stocks now, and you should consider reallocating. But most people, I think, should not try to, you know, say, oh, stocks are cheaper now than they were a couple weeks ago, I'm going to buy some more, because no one has any idea. The stock market could go down 20% from here, it could go down 50%, or as it has done since, you know, the spring of 2009, it could triple or quadruple, catching everybody by surprise.
There's some Bank of America Merrill Lynch data showing that regular folks, mom and pop, you and me, are buying into these recent dips, but that big institutional investors tend to be selling. Is there a lesson to be drawn from that?
The only lesson that we can ever draw from data like that is that there's no such thing as smart money. There's no such thing as dumb money. There's only just money. You know, big institutions have more assets than small investors do. But historically, there's no evidence that they're any better at timing when they buy or sell than regular Main Street investors are. And I would not take a strong signal from that in either direction.
The Wall Street Journal's Jason Zweig is also author of The Devil's Financial Dictionary. Jason, thank you so much.
Great to be with you, David.